Welcome back to the Strong and Lean at Any Age podcast. I am Susan Niebergall, and today we are talking Big Macs. I have Jordan Syatt back with me, and he and I are going to talk about his 30-day Big Mac challenge, what it is, why he's doing it, and how it is changing the game. It's amazing to watch his story every single day as to what's going on with this Big Mac challenge. We talk all about it, and we also talk about I joined him in New York and had a Big Mac with him, and that was my first Big Mac in probably 40 years. Could be even a little longer. I really don't even know. We have a lot of fun with this discussion. So many great things that he is doing with this challenge, and excited to be a part of it. So go grab your coffee. Put up your feet, take a listen. I think you're really, really gonna love this. Well, here we are in person.
Hello, Susanne Bergall.
My new name. But just for the record, my name is not Susanne, but I will respond to that. And I have been responding to that.
For some reason, when people see Susan's Instagram as just Susan Niebergall Fitness, they combine Susan and Niebergall to read Susanne Bergall.
They don't know where the first name ends and the last name begins. And fair enough, it's not the easiest in the world, but Susan's kind of a...
I've just never met anybody who's like, call me Susanne. I've just never heard that. It's like, it's interesting. That's their go-to. But
that's their go-to. So how are you?
I'm good. I'm doing well. I'm highly caffeinated.
Yeah, I am. So
I am very ready to film the October edition of The Inner Circle.
Yeah.
And
that's going to be a good one.
That's going to be a good one. I'm excited. Yeah. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing I'm caffeinated as well.
I'm doing caffeinated.
So this is fun because we're sitting next to each other. We've never done this way before.
I prefer it this way.
I actually think this is, this needs to be a new thing.
Yeah, every time you come here,
yeah,
for sure.
We need to do this. It's so much easier than worrying about the connection.
Yeah, 100%.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. So we just got back from having a Big Mac.
Wow, that rhymed.
That rhymed. What can I say?
And so, that was your first Big Mac in like 40 years.
40. And I might even be wrong with that. It could maybe even be more. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's been a long time.
How was it?
It was fantastic. It was fantastic. It was epic for me on so many levels. But let's talk about what you're doing with that, because I think that's so important, what's happening with us. And it's catching fire everywhere.
Yeah. It's... basically, the whole thing that I want to accomplish is to show people that one bad meal or even a week of bad meals or whatever, it's not going to ruin your progress.
Yeah.
Because consistently, the one driving factor that causes people to stop making progress is the idea that they've failed. The idea that because they had one bad meal, because they like ate something off track, because they went over their calories, like, oh, I screwed up. I might as well just keep screwing up. And I think a lot of that is driven from the underlying perspective that there are good foods and bad foods. And one of, I think, the most famous or infamous, however you want to look at it, videos and documentaries that drove that home was Super Size Me.
Mm-hmm.
This idea that McDonald's is all bad. And if you eat McDonald's, you will gain fat. You will like develop serious issues like fatty liver. Like it was presented in a way that made it seem like you didn't have a choice with McDonald's. That if you had McDonald's, you were inherently making a decision that was ruining your health. And that's just not accurate.
No, it's not.
And it's one thing to write about it. It's another thing to do it and show people. And I think it's where a lot of fitness professionals, they make a mistake. They just talk about it as though people should believe them. It's like, and I don't believe me. Like, don't believe me. You should absolutely question what I'm saying. You should try other methods. But the best way for me to show you that this is accurate is to actually do it myself and prove it to you. And it's one thing to make a post and write about the science and literature. It's another thing to actually live it and do it and then learn the strategies. And so that's what I'm trying to do. Is I'm trying to show people real time. I'm having a Big Mac every day for 30 days, and I'm allowing myself, by strategically eating in a calorie deficit, to continue to lose fat. The important message here is that I'm not recommending anybody eat a Big Mac every day.
Yeah.
And I've gone above and beyond to make that clear.
Yeah, you have.
It's not recommending it. For me, the whole idea is sometimes you have to do something extreme to make a simple point. And I'm not going to do this forever. I would never recommend it. But by me doing this, it will show people quite clearly that it's not some bullshit. It's not like I'm making this up. This is scientifically accurate. This is a fact. Like, you can't argue this. So,
and you are eating throughout the course of the day, too.
Of course, yeah.
You're not like just eating a Big Mac and calling it a day.
It's not just one Big Mac. Yeah. Like you saw earlier today,
I had
a salad.
Yep.
I had the Big Mac, yep. And then I actually had some of the pretzels. I'm gonna have another dinner later tonight. Like, it's, I eat three square meals a day.
Yeah.
And I have a couple snacks, usually some type of an apple or Greek yogurt. But it's not a starvation diet. It's literally just a regular diet adjusted to incorporate that extra 540 calorie Big Macs to show people that you can have something like that. You can enjoy pizza at your daughter's birthday party and not feel like you screwed up.
Yeah.
You can go out to dinner with your family on Friday night and not feel like you fucked up. You can go on vacation and not feel like you fucked up. Because the more that you realize you didn't screw up, then the less shame and guilt you have, mm-hmm. and the more likely you are to stay on track over the long term and make progress consistently.
I think part of the reason why people probably get nervous about that, well, there are a lot of reasons, but I think because they don't put in the work to fit it in. I mean, they just kind of wing it, and then they start to panic. Oh my God, I've had too much, and they don't really know how much they've had.
That's exactly right.
You have to strategically do that.
And that's the whole thing, is like, what I think probably the main key concept that I'm really driving home is I'm still in a calorie deficit.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm keeping track of my calories, mm-hmm. and I'm making sure that the other meals are very low calorie, very high protein. And so my goal here is to get people to ask questions like, what calorie tracking app do you use?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do I track my calories? And I have all of these pieces of content already made for people to go and look and like, oh my God, I had no idea. Like, that makes so much more sense. I feel so free, like such a burden off my shoulders. And so this, the whole purpose of this is to get people asking questions and thinking critically. I think a lot of coaches, they think every piece of content should just make people understand everything they need to know, and that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's like when a client comes in to work with you in a coaching session, you don't expect them to master the deadlift in that one session. You teach them one thing at a time, until progressively they know enough until they can then move on to the next variation. Same thing with nutrition. You can't teach people everything in one go. You have to give them the opportunity to learn and progress over time.
Yeah, and I think the fact that you're not saying, yeah, I recommend that you eat a Big Mac every day, that's not the message. And I think what's super valuable is just the freedom that people are starting to feel with that.
Yeah. I
mean, you know, that you can do that, whether it's a Big Mac or whatever it is, a donut or pizza or whatever.
It's the one thing for me is like, you can't deny the hundreds if not thousands of messages that are coming in literally every day saying like, this changed my life.
Yeah.
I'm watching this with tears in my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, that's just, you can't deny that it's helping people. And so I think that's really when you're a coach and you're trying to figure out, well, what's your role as a coach? What's your job? It's to help people.
Yeah.
It's not to change people. It's not to force people to believe what you believe. It's to help people. And for me, that begins with sharing the truth. And whatever, like, just share the truth. Above all else, tell the truth. And for that to happen, for people to really understand what's best for them and how to create a nutrition, fitness, lifestyle that's best for them, you have to start with sharing the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And above all else, if you're not sharing the truth, then you're misleading people. And sharing the truth doesn't mean you have to teach them whole textbook at once, but share one truth on top of one truth on top of one truth, and that's how you progress and help people.
Absolutely, 100%. And, you know, we talked about when we were there, too, how people, like, automatically, a lot of people, their go-to is, ooh, McDonald's, that's gross, or whatever. Those weren't gross. The Big Mac was not gross. It tasted delicious.
I agree. I think it's one of the questions people are asking, like, are you sick of them yet? Are they disgusting? Da, da, da. And one of the funny things that's happened is the first probably 3 days, people were messaging me being like, oh, that's disgusting. Da, da, da.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then once they started to see my weight drop, they were like, oh my God, I really want one. Like, that looks so good. The same messages, one on top of the other. Like, that's so gross. Then 2 to 3 days later, like, oh my God, like, I want one so bad. And I think it's social conditioning. I think it's this idea that what people have told us over time, or what society, quote unquote, society has told us over time, is that it's inherently bad. And through doing this, I'm showing people that you are allowed to say you enjoy a Big Mac. it's okay.
Yeah.
It's all right. It's nothing bad. And it's like, I'm not saying the ingredients are the freshest, high quality ingredients. Of course they're not. They're highly processed, really high salt. They're not nutrient dense at all. Of course not. But neither is pizza. Neither is a cheeseburger from anywhere you go. Like, neither is a donut. But just because they're not highly nutrient dense foods doesn't mean that you're not allowed to enjoy them once in a while.
Absolutely. And I took 40 years to do it.
It's amazing, though. It's never too late.
No, it's never too late to do it. And it's, as we were walking out, I told you, that was epic for me on a lot of levels. Like, I would never have thought myself ever to do that 4 years ago, 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Ever. And I really hadn't, because I hadn't set foot in a McDonald's other than to get coffee in forever, since maybe Mike was little or something. But it's incredible, because I didn't feel anything. I mean, I didn't feel like it was
no anxiety, fear, no nothing. No. Whereas like 5-10 years ago, there might have been like a freak out.
And afterwards, mm-hmm. afterwards, more than anything else.
It's so interesting to me, because it's like, that's the side of fitness that I think we're not paying enough attention to, is the mental side.
Yeah.
Where it's like, mental progress matters too.
Oh,
it's not just about physical progress. And usually, in my opinion, the more mental progress you make, the more physical progress you'll make. Any physical progress made without mental progress stacked on top of it, as the base of it, is going to be short term, because it's being done from the perspective of usually quick physical changes without a deeper understanding of why things are going on and how to make them last long term. So you can do both at the same time, but if you're going for physical first over mental, you're screwing yourself over.
They go hand in hand. They go hand in hand. They have to. And I think that's what makes the journey interesting too. And that's why, if you take away any expectation of a timeline or the end line or the finish line or whatever, and just go with it day in and day out, that's what works. And the mindset is probably the toughest part. I mean, anybody really can not eat and lose weight.
Of course.
But those same people will just gain it all back if they haven't wrapped their head around whatever is driving them.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
And we've all been in that situation. And I think after a while, when you finally get rid of all that shit that's sitting on your shoulders and you get rid of it all, you can go have a Big Mac, or you can go have a pizza or a donut or whatever, and understand that it's not gonna make you fat overnight. You can enjoy it. You're not gonna die, because it's processed.
That's exactly right.
Oh my God, I ate something processed. So?
It's so funny. It's like, whenever people say it's processed food, I'm like, what is processed food? Like, define it for me.
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean by processed? And usually, number one, they don't have a definition. But if you actually think about it, everything we eat is processed. Unless you are growing your food out in your backyard and you're not eating anything that you're not specifically growing, it's processed. Period. End of story.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's the phrase I like to use is minimally processed, because the fewer steps it has to go through in order to get to your plate, generally speaking, the more nutrient dense it's going to be. So for sure, 80%, 85% of your diet, maybe we'll call it 90%, should be minimally processed foods.
Sure.
But it all goes back to having a little bit of treats here and there,
mm-hmm.
is not going to derail you. The only reason it will derail you is if mentally you think you screwed up and you allow that quote unquote screw up to then project into the, oh, well, fuck it, I already messed up, so I'll keep screwing up. And then that what was 10% of your diet now becomes 40% of your diet, and then it goes down that downstream effect.
And going into something like that thinking, I'm doing something bad anyway. I mean, you go into that thinking, this is bad, I shouldn't be having a Big Mac. So, then it's gonna sit in your head, and it's going to just kind of percolate in there. And,
mm-hmm.
yeah, it's not bad.
I agree.
I think it just goes back to the whole good versus bad food. I mean, it's food. Yeah, 90% of what we eat should be minimally processed. Absolutely. I think everyone would agree with that. But I don't know why there are people that think you can't have anything processed, ever.
I think it's easier mentally and emotionally to fit yourself into a box of yes or no, right or wrong, good or bad, healthy or unhealthy, fat gaining or fat burning, rather than to really dig deep and see the gray area in between. It's easier to be like, this is right, that is wrong, than it is to be like, you know what, there's more nuance to it, let's discuss it.
Mm-hmm.
I think one thing I've noticed in myself and other people is the more that I know on any given topic, the more nuanced I realize the topic becomes. Not just in fitness, in life, in politics, in relationships. There's very rarely a yes or no, right or wrong, good or bad. There's much more black and white to it. And ironically, the less I know about a given topic, the more staunch position I take and on there being one right or one wrong way. Mm. And I think that it's a very clear position that individuals will take when they don't actually know as much as they think they know.
That's interesting. I agree.
There's something called the Dunning-Kruger effect, which is basically it's like the people generally who think they are much smarter than others tend to be less smart, and the people who tend to think that they're less smart than other people are actually usually more intelligent. And I think it plays out in a topic by topic scenario too, where you have the people who are like, this is bad, this is inherently bad for you, there's no way you have this in your diet. It's like those people think that they know more than everybody else. They think that this is inherently it, that that's the right answer, end all be all. And when in reality, the more you know about it, the more you realize it's not any single food or meal or day, it's everything over the long term that will determine your health. And I think the more you know about a given topic, the more ready you are to see and understand and respect the nuance in every situation, and that everyone is different and it's not so black and white.
Oh, absolutely. And I think there's also a group of people coming into things that are afraid to hear the other side or accept any information from the other side, because now that's going to cast a light on, I've been wrong, or I've been wrong all this time.
Yep.
For so long. So they want to avoid that at all costs.
It's a very mentally scary place sometimes when you associate your beliefs with who you are as an individual.
Yeah.
It is a very precarious position to be in, because that basically means that you're setting yourself up for, if what you believe is actually incorrect, then you would topple over, because it's not just a belief, it's actually part of who you are, which is why I'm very, very adamant about separating who I am from what I'm teaching people. It's like, I have been wrong in the past, I'll be wrong in the future, and I wanna make you aware of that now, because something I'm telling you right now could potentially be wrong, and I don't ever want to get into a position in which I'm so deep into and invested into one topic or one position or one stance that when evidence is staring me in the face that I'm actually wrong, I dig my heels in and resist it. You have to be open to being wrong in order to not let yourself topple off this pedestal, because the more you associate yourself with your beliefs over and over and over again, the higher and higher and higher that pedestal goes, and it's a long fucking fall down.
I so agree. I think too, you back yourself into a corner and heels get dug in, and it's that becomes a no-win situation. I mean, for you as a person, or for whoever else you're communicating with, and that's not just with fitness. It's in society today. I mean, that's the political climate in this country. That's what that is.
Yeah.
You know, you've got two sides that are in their corners, and they will not come out.
That's exactly right.
So it's everywhere, and so it's not surprising so much, because that's where society is now, that it's bled down into this industry.
Yeah, it's actually, you can see it very clearly on social media, like how staunch positions people will take, the unrelentingness, the unfortunate viciousness that people will attack those who have differing beliefs, which is, it's funny because people will laugh when I say something like, you know, we can have differing beliefs and still be friends.
Yeah.
And it's something where like people legitimately laugh at that because it's so basic and seemingly so commonsensical, but very few people actually live by it. Where when someone disagrees with you, for whatever reason, so many people are quick to be like, well, fuck you.
Yeah.
It's like, hold on.
Yeah, wait a minute.
Why can't we disagree and still be respectful?
Or they go to the name calling.
Yeah.
That's what happens with on my social media lab. They immediately don't agree with me, which is okay. You don't have to agree with me. And then they will start throwing the personal insults.
Yeah.
Wait, where did we go from that? From A to Z? How did we get to that?
And that's another another sign of someone who thinks that they know more than they actually do. When you can't keep the conversation on topic and you go to ad hominem and you go towards, you know what, I'm going to attack you as an individual, not your argument or your discussion or your belief or your presentation. I'm going to attack you as a person.
Yeah.
That basically it's people's way of trying to discredit you as opposed to trying to actually discuss the reality of your argument and discussion. So the more that I see people attacking me or you or anyone as an individual, the more I realize they don't know enough to carry a logical conversation. So instead of trying to discuss the points at hand, they go for you just on surface level.
Yeah, that's very evident.
Yeah.
And there's not much you can do about that. I mean, there's no point in trying to beat down that.
The one thing that has worked for me in those situations is when people go ad hominem and attack you, they're avoiding questions.
Mm-hmm.
When you can say, okay, well, that makes sense, but do me a favor and explain X, Y, and Z. And they're like, you know what? Like, you're a fucking idiot. It's like, listen, I very well may be an idiot, but you didn't answer my question. So I'm going to repeat it for you. Like, what about this? And then they're like, listen, it's a lost cause. You don't know what the fuck you're talking about. I was like, I may very well be a lost cause, but you keep ignoring the question. I'm going to ask it one more time.
Yeah.
And when people see that, they're like, this person literally doesn't know to answer the question.
Yeah. Well, I think what this Big Mac challenge is doing is just freeing up so many people to be able to enjoy life. And that's kind of what it's all about. You know, you don't have to withhold anything. And I mean, you know, we get one shot to be on this planet, you know, and it would be a shame to spend most of it avoiding shit because we're afraid of having a Big Mac or we're afraid of having a donut or whatever. That's really something that's been hitting home with me. I mean, as I'm getting older, mortality hits very heavily with me sometimes. And I keep that up here all the time. Like, it's just not worth it.
Yeah.
It's just not. It's so important just to go out and enjoy your life and don't have any regrets.
Especially considering we know, based on all of the data thus far, the truth that it's not going to ruin your life. It's not going to poison you in moderation. It's not going to make you obese. It's not going to give you cardiovascular disease. It's not going to ruin you. If there was research that said, hey, regardless of whether or not you're in a calorie deficit, regardless of how healthy you are, X, Y, and Z will absolutely definitively hurt your health, then it's like, great, like, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
And I support that. But making this fear-mongering argument based around these logical fallacies that it must be bad for you because it's not natural, because it's highly processed. It's that's not supported by the research.
Mm-mm.
So like, for me, it's a no-brainer. Like, enjoy your life and do it in moderation. It's like everything in moderation, including moderation. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's like a lot
of
people take it to a really far extreme.
That's what I was just thinking. It's kind of like when I talk to people about lifting and, oh, it's heavy weight. You know, they think going up in weight means I went from a 10-pound dumbbell to that 80-pound dumbbell.
Exactly.
You know, they kind of go from A to Z, and, well, there's a whole lot of dumbbells in between.
Exactly,
They go, it's extremes. They automatically go to a Big Mac? Like, 5 Big Macs? No.
Yes.
No. A Big Mac. Once. Have one.
Exactly. It's like the people, when you talk about calories, when you say, listen, calories are king for fat loss, the jump goes to, oh, so you're just saying that people should have Hershey's Kisses and Oreos all day? It's like, where the fuck did you jump to that?
Yeah.
It's like, no.
Yeah.
All food has calories.
Yeah.
And I've said time and again, I think the best diet is one that is overall minimally processed. We'll call it 80-20 just for the sake of it. 80% of it should be minimally processed, high nutrient-dense foods, whatever. But that doesn't mean that I'm saying advocating, okay, well, go just because calories are most important that you should just eat whatever the fuck you want and include all junk food and candy. It's the same thing with this. It's like, oh yeah, you're saying a Big Mac every day, so you should only eat a Big Mac, or you're telling people to eat a Big Mac every day. It's like, never once have I said nor insinuated that.
Never once.
It's the whole purpose from day one, from the very beginning has been, I'm not advocating this is healthy. I'm not saying this is what you should do. I don't think anybody should do this. I'm personally doing this to prove to you that I'm not fucking around. Mm-hmm. I'm not lying to you. This is real. And if me doing this allows people to have a healthier relationship with food, it's the best $180 I've ever spent.
Absolutely it is. 100%. How has this affected your workouts? Have you noticed any difference anywhere by having a Big Mac every day?
So I'm 2 weeks, or I'm halfway done. So mm-hmm. today was day 15. The first week was great.
Mm-hmm.
My strength all the way through has been fantastic. I've actually continued to go up in strength. I have noticed significant loss in energy during the workouts. And I don't think it's because of the Big Mac. I think it's because I'm being very strict with my calories. And I'm in a pretty significant calorie deficit on purpose. The reason being, I want to show people that you can lose weight while doing this. And I know for a fact that people will really believe me if I lose 2, 3, 4, 5 pounds. If I only lost 0.5 pound, people would be like, it wouldn't have as big of an effect.
Yeah.
So I'm deliberately making, because it's only a 30-day challenge.
Yeah.
If it was 90 days, then you I would have more time to do it progressively.
That makes sense.
But I'm deliberately taking my calories lower on purpose so that I can create a bigger deficit and then lose more fat. So overall, my energy is lower, but I don't think it has anything, and I can't prove this, so I'll be a forthright. I don't know,
mm-hmm.
but my guess would be it's not as much as the Big Mac, so much as it is the energy deficit, which is like, I've done calorie deficits for years over and over and over again. Like, this is what happens when you're in a calorie deficit, especially a steep calorie deficit, you get more tired. Like, that's it.
That makes sense. Any sleep issues that you could attribute since you started?
I mean, that's about the same. Sleep great. Sleep is fantastic. I would say the one thing that I've noticed is over the 2 weeks so far, 2 weeks in a day, I've had 2 or 3 diarrheas, which is like obviously more than usual.
Mm-hmm.
But that's it. That's like really the most negative physical side effect that I've had. Like, sleep has been fine. Productivity has been just as good, if not better than ever. And I think a lot of that is actually driven by the positive reinforcement from so many people being like, this is amazing, this is amazing. I think that stimulates more energy for that. But I feel great. I feel great, and I mean, we'll see. I still have halfway more to go, so we'll see by the end of day 30. But I think the biggest struggle from a strategic perspective is there's 540 calories, and I'm rounding it up. I'm rounding it up to 560 just because, depending on where you look, you could see anywhere from 520 to 560.
Mm.
So I just take the highest number.
Sure.
Just for – it's a smart move. Like, mm-hmm. if you're trying to lose fat, mm-hmm. take the highest number.
Always.
If you're trying to gain muscle, take the lowest number.
Yeah.
So because I'm adding an extra 560, almost 600 calories to my day, and I'm trying to have a pretty steep deficit, that means I don't have much room.
No.
I don't. No. I started at 151 pounds. I'm down to 147, 147.4. I'm not a big guy. So for me, usually my snacks would be pretzels or like some type of chips or whatever. Just like, that'd be my snack in the day. But I'm literally all month I'm not having those because that's where the Big Mac is going.
Yeah.
So I think that's the biggest struggle from a strategic, actual daily practical application to it. But again, that's just that comes with experience of dieting and doing this so many times. I think that a lot of people, they're like, well, I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to calorie count. It's like, that's why I'm showing you.
Yeah.
Like, I'm literally, and I'm going to be fully honest about everything. Like, everything I've done, whether it's like I've increased my step count, like I'm making sure that I hit at least 10,000 steps a day,
mm-hmm.
Which realistically, I live in New York. I usually get between 8,000 to 12,000 steps a day anyway. My thing with Supersize Me was he deliberately stopped exercising.
Yeah.
Usually got several thousand. I think he said like 5,000 plus steps a day. And he deliberately started taking taxis and the subway so he wouldn't walk as much. And I'm like, why would you go to the extreme of saying like you can't exercise and you have to say yes to the Supersize Me and you have to get the regular Coke? Like, why are you making it seem like you not only don't have a choice, but you have to get the most high calorie, the high sugar, high fat, and stop exercising?
Yeah.
It's like, it's much more beneficial in my opinion. And I would love to talk to him about this. I doubt he cares. I mean, he's like, I'm sure he's crushing it. But like, in my opinion, it's much more important to show people a balanced version of it than an extreme in either direction, because I could have done 3 meals a day every day at McDonald's and increased my activity a ton, and I could have made it so extreme that it would be unrealistic. And in the same way that he went so extreme where he had three meals a day every day, they were eating the worst of the worst of the worst, mm-hmm. stopped exercising. It's like, why does everything have to be the extreme? Yeah. My whole purpose is to show a moderate approach, to show like you can incorporate it moderately without it taking over your entire life.
Absolutely. I think that's what's so important about this whole thing, that it's not an extreme approach what you're doing at all, even though there are probably people out there that are trying to say otherwise or whatever. It's not. And I know when you and I walked in there, I kept thinking, I would never have done this, ever, ever. I think it's so important for people to understand that it's not too late to turn back from something like that. You know, it's not too late to change how you think. You know, I think as we get older, I think sometimes people go, well, that's just the way I am. Well, no, it doesn't have to be the way you are.
I think that's one of the most important points, and I'm so glad you brought that up, and I think you were the perfect example of that, of like, it doesn't matter where you are in life, where you've been in life, mm-hmm. how old you are, what you've done, or what you want to do, like, if you want to make a change, you have the power to, regardless, you're not just a certain way.
Yeah.
If you do that, then you're enabling yourself to stay a certain way, mm-hmm. but that doesn't mean you can't change.
Right, 100%.
I love that.
Yeah. I mean, you can, any of us can change.
I think it's one of the greatest misconceptions in society today is that we don't have the power to choose.
Yeah.
It's the most dangerous misconception to have, that you don't have the power to choose. It is the most dangerous, scary place to be, because if you believe that you don't have the power to choose, if you believe that you don't have the power to change, if you believe that there is someone or something or some power above you preventing you from making these personal decisions, then you will not only not make those decisions, you'll then blame them on someone else and feel justified in not making progress or not being the person that you not only could be, but should be.
Mm-hmm.
And the more, and this is what one of the reasons I love working with you, is because we're so on the same page with this, like everything, but really with this, is that you have the power to change. You have the power to make decisions. You have the power to do whatever it is you want to do. It does not mean it's easy. It does not mean that it will be fun. It does not mean that it's going to happen overnight, but you have the power to do it.
I think that piece that you just said is so important, because I think that's where people go to when they start digging their heels in.
Yes.
Because my heels were dug in just like that. And it's a place of frustration. And I feel like I felt trapped. You know, I look back on that and said, my heels were dug in. I could feel the tension when I get that from someone else. And it's a place where you feel trapped because you feel like you don't have the power.
Yeah.
It was menopause. It was this. It was that. You know, it's something else, not me.
Yeah.
But once you believe that you can do it, and hearing that, I believe you, it's not, you know, it's not easy. And I try to tell people, I get it. It's not easy. I think people sometimes, I know I needed to hear that someone understood that.
Yeah.
And I think that's huge. And once I understood that other people understood that, I think that helped.
You know, we can see this with, for example, the extreme at the Health at Every Size movement, for example.
Yeah.
Where they'll say, well, diets don't work. Diets don't work, so why do it at all?
Yeah.
You know what? Don't do it. And it's like, hold on. Let's look at this. What you're doing is you're saying that diets don't work, taking all of the blame off of yourself and saying that it doesn't matter what you do, because no matter what you do, the diet won't work.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the scariest place to be. It's the most dangerous place to be, because all responsibility is taken off of you and on the quote unquote diet. And it's not true. It's, yes, some diets don't work, but the reality is there are number one diets that do work. And there's a way to figure it out. There's a way to plan your own diet in a way that, because that's all a diet is what you eat.
It's how
you eat. That's mm-hmm. it, on a habitual basis.
I'm on the Susan diet, you're on the Jordan diet.
That's it. That's literally it. And there's a way to structure your eating in a way that, should you want to lose weight and should that make you healthier, you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's not going to be easy. Changing habits, no matter what, isn't easy.
No.
Like, it's the same. Like, if you're addicted to cigarettes, quitting cigarettes is not fucking easy.
Mm-mm.
But no one would say, you know what, a really high percentage of people smoking cigarettes don't succeed, so just don't fucking do it.
Just don't bother.
You know, it's very hard. Yeah. It's very hard to quit cigarettes, so just don't bother. Yeah. It's like, what the fuck are you thinking? Of course. Yeah. Like, I don't care if it takes you 17 times to do it and you fail over and over and over again. At least if you stop, you stop.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care how many times you fail, as long as at the end you succeed.
Yeah.
That's it.
Absolutely. You know, one thing that I've noticed since we just did this is I think I am one of those people that had tended to eat, my meals were smaller, I guess. It's not like I ate six meals or whatever, but my meals in general were not very big. I feel full. I mean, not like stuffed like a pig, but I mean, I feel satisfied. I feel full.
Yep.
It's great. Like, it makes me realize how you can fall into the trap of not eating enough at a meal, mm-hmm. and then you're going to graze. And then all of a sudden you're adding these calories that you're not thinking of.
Yep.
And that cycle can go and go and go.
Yeah.
You know? And it doesn't have to be a Big Mac, but that tied into this because I'm feeling very different after eating something in a good way than I would have maybe if I just had some yogurt and, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
But it's just a different perception of how maybe I need to look at having some more stuff with my yogurt, you know what
yeah.
I mean? Increasing things, you know what I mean? And now that I'm trying to actually go in that direction, yeah, I really should do that anyway.
Yeah, I think that it's one of the most efficient ways to create anxiety around food is to consistently stay away from the feeling of getting full.
Yeah.
When you consistently prevent yourself from feeling full for a number of reasons. I think some people will do it because they don't want their stomach to look bloated. Like mm-hmm. they don't want people to see them with their stomach bloated. Some people will do it because they associate a full stomach with them getting fat.
Yes.
It's like the more that you allow yourself to never get that feeling, the more anxiety you create around it and the more likely you are to end up binging.
Yeah.
Because it's like you'll resist it and you resist it and you resist it, but like you're eventually going to go nuts. It's going to, whether it's today or tomorrow or next month or next year, it's going to snap, and then it's going to be a very hard time after that.
And it's in your head, you're thinking, I'm doing everything right. I'm doing it all. You know, I'm eating my little meals. I'm tracking whatever. And it's fascinating because I think people do avoid that.
Yeah.
I think they avoid feeling full because the fullness, they equate to fat.
Yep.
And I have just gained fat.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like they'll look in the mirror and they'll be like, oh, I'm so bloated. Like, it's like you literally just had a meal.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
It doesn't mean anything other than you put a fucking bag of food inside your stomach.
Inside your stomach, and it's
like,
there.
Of course it's there. Like, that's normal. It's, yeah. it's, and I think people are really, really easy to
and I would,
be hard on themselves.
I took that, gosh, for so long. I look back and think, what a. As fat. I have fat now.
Yep.
Because I went out for dinner. It's ludicrous. It's illogical. It makes no sense. But when you're caught up in that mindset, it's tough to get out, you know? I mean,
yeah.
it's not easy. As we said, it's not easy. But I think any of us can do it.
100%.
Any of us can do it. I think this is such a great experiment.
Yeah, I think it's
great,
important.
Yeah.
I think it's important because above all else, you can't go wrong telling the truth.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. That's for me, it's like, do your best to tell the truth as often as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there are people out there, the overwhelming response to this has been amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, outrageously, outrageously incredible and positive. The DMs and the messages from people who are like, this completely has changed my life already. Thank you so much. Like, tell me more about counting calories. How do I track my calories? Oh my God, I had no idea. Like, people who have completely like upended everything just because they finally understand this has been incredible. There have been a small percentage of coaches who I think are operating under unfortunately from a place of jealousy and anger.
I would agree.
But they're saying that this is doing more harm than good. And it's, for me, I always question, what is the value of telling the truth? And the telling the truth will always help more than it will hurt
mm-hmm.
in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
You can pretend that something isn't accurate. You can say that it's not true. You can do everything. You can skirt around the issue. But when all is said and done, if you're not telling the truth, you're not helping. Period.
That's exactly right. I do believe there's an element of jealousy in there because they're seeing that it's helping right. so many people, and the response has been unbelievable.
Yeah.
So. And I think they don't want to hear the complete message, but it's not really about them anyway. You know.
That's the whole point. Is yeah. like, I've realized, the people who are complaining about it, they don't make any content.
Yeah, they don't.
They make no content. They don't get anything helpful out, and they sit there. And they critique other people's content. Well, that's stupid, and that's stupid, and that's stupid. It's like, you know what? You can do that all you want. Mm-hmm. You can get as much likes as you want from other coaches who might agree with you. But while you're doing that, I'll go help out the single mother who's working two full-time jobs who doesn't understand calories, and I can help her build a healthier relationship with food while you sit on fucking Facebook and complain that this might not be in line with what you think is good content. So complain all you want.
Yeah.
I'll keep making content and helping people.
And I really liked how you did this yesterday or the day before. You put up on your DMs a message from somebody, another coach, who wanted to do something similar. And you're like, I want everyone to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, it's my goal is help as many people as possible. And if coaches around the world do this for their audiences who might not have seen what I'm doing, then that literally just means like my impact is like having a massive ripple effect. For every coach who does this because I started it, then other people are being helped who might not have been helped if I hadn't done it in the first place.
Oh, absolutely. I think that's fantastic.
So that's it.
Yeah. And so what else is going on with you? We're doing Inner Circle stuff.
Yeah, we got Inner Circle stuff. The retreat is
crazy.
83 signups.
84 today.
84 signups. So we got 16 left.
Yeah.
16 spots left for the retreat in Austin, Texas. And I still think, you know, the workouts and the videos and the nutrition guidelines, like, and the guides that we do and the manuals, they're great. But nothing beats the group.
Mm-hmm.
Like, every day looking in there, seeing the posts and the encouragement and the support and the community and the accountability and the encouragement, like, nothing beats that group. And that's what I'm most proud of, what we've created, is that, like, this safe place where people can go in and share their victories and share their failures and get encouragement and support and have an environment of people who support them. I think it's for everyone in the Inner Circle listening, we fucking love you so much.
So much.
Because it's really each and every member in there who's contributing to this. It's not us. It's you. And that's what makes it so incredible. And so that's what I'm stoked about.
It's unlike any group we've ever seen. We say that all the time, but we really mean it.
Yeah, it is. It really
but we
is.
Really mean it. Well, this has been fun doing this in person.
Yeah, I like this. We should do this more often.
This will be a thing. This will be a thing. Yeah.
I love you. Thank you.
So, okay. For people that are hiding under a rock, I don't know. just tell everybody where you are, where they can find you.
Instagram, Syatt Fitness, Syatt Fitness, YouTube, Jordan Syatt. The Google machine has all the information on me. Let me know. So that's pretty much it.
All right. Thanks a bunch.
Thank
this
you.
Was fun.
I love you.
I love you too.